Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Show. I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and I am living proof that you should never lick petri dishes, because holy crap, have I been sick! But I'm not dead yet, so here we are. Patrice, how are you doing?
I mean, first I want to know what petri dishes you licked and where
Yeah,
and why.
just the ones on the counter. It's like, oh, that's pretty colors.
The ones
Okay.
in the bio lab.
The ones in the
Yeah.
bio
It's
lab,
like you ignored
they
all
were
the
glowing.
signs. Like, yeah. Funny lights
Science.
and all of that.
Were you
Doors.
visiting Wuhan recently,
Oh.
Jeff?
No, 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 no. That's old news. It's like in the US now, so. Everything's getting shut down, so it's just you can just walk in.
You can just walk in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like the Andromeda strain, but without any
Ooh.
security protocols.
Yes,
Right.
pretty much. No, I'm good. I'm good. It's yeah, a bit of a madhouse right now everywhere. It's kind of this last week was not great. This week is also it's all over the place. Getting ready for next week. We have a big trade fair in Berlin, the biggest, for us at least, the biggest one of the year. It's the MIA. I don't know what it stands at. Digital Medical something something. Probably something in German. I don't know. But yeah, we're getting ready for that. It's gonna be a lot. Tuesday to Thursday next weekend. If you're in Berlin or if you're in the medical field and you're wanting to join, let me know. Like, I don't know. Don't know why you would, but if you want to say hi, come say
It's you would want to simply because you're there.
hi. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, last year, actually, I should do that again. Last year, I had literally someone show up because of me. It was the assistant of my former professor. He was like, "Oh, Patrice is
Oh,
there. Go say hi, please." He literally sent
that's
someone
awesome.
who was anywhere there to say hi. So that was nice. No, I should actually post on LinkedIn again, so maybe someone will come. Yeah, anyway, that's kind of yeah what's going on. And the week after, I'm in Portugal, and in between, I'm flying. And yeah, it's a lot to work, a lot to do, a lot of work, all that, you know. But I'm having fun. It's all good.
That's great. So, Patrice Brand'Amour, girl on the go.
Yeah, well, I mean, literally, that's been my life, kind of. But no, it's like I'm learning a lot in what am I right now doing? I finished airframes. I finished the like power plant. I finished electrics. I'm working on instruments right now, so all the chapters I have to do. Finished a bunch of my tests. I'm repeating questions and kind of practicing all the stuff. Working on my radio calls and forgetting shit and whatever, you know. But
The
I'm
fun
getting better.
stuff.
I'm
That's
getting better.
awesome.
I can now say Oscar Echo Alpha Kilo Whiskey, information
Nice.
alpha received for whatever request weather or something. Yeah, for landing usually I would probably say I want to land.
The problem is the way you say that is far too understandable. You have to say it in a way that you can barely understand it.
Yeah, that's true.
Alpha, over.
Yeah. No, I mean the fun, even more interesting thing is how you learn it officially and how it's actually done in practice are, of course, two different things. So I've already learned a little bit with my flight instructor, and yeah, stuff is different. He's like, "Yeah, we never repeat that," or he's like, "Yeah, we never say that." Like it's just nobody does that. I'm like, "But okay." Like
I
you
mean,
have to show that you can do it once and then you can ignore
I've listened to air traffic control, and there's a spot in Oakland, and I can't understand a friggin' thing they're saying. I guess, I'm not a pilot, but
it's actually not that hard.
once in a while you get some call letters and something about a runway and,
Yeah.
21 left. Okay, I understood that. That's about all.
No, it's fun. I mean, it's actually not that hard because I mean, yes, there is some parts that are harder to understand depending on accents and where people are from and how clearly they speak and all of that. But it's a lot of standard phrases and structures. So if you know how things are structured, you can kind of understand what's going on. But yeah, it is hard sometimes. It's humans, right?
Yeah.
It's how we roll.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Hey, Tom, how's it going for you?
It's going well. The only challenge we're having in the house is we have a rat that's in the crawl space above the ceiling.
Oh, you need a cat.
And yeah, and it's kind of inaccessible by humans. It the way the roof has been or the ceiling's been modified, it can't actually get in there. So and we're like anal about keeping every entry point for a rat closed off in our house because we
They
have
find it.
Swedish roof rats. You know, we've had
You
them for
know,
50 years here. The
rock
roof
rats?
rats? Roof rats.
Yeah. I had never heard of roof rats until I was in California
Yeah.
and was chatting with a relative, and they were complaining that their neighbors had roof rats and they wanted to make sure that they didn't spread to their place. And I'm like, a roof rat? And
Yeah.
they described these things to me, and I'm like, bullshit. You're making this up. No, this is a real thing.
Next
And they'll
time I
jump off
trap
the
one, I'll show
roofs
you.
and
Yeah.
yeah,
They're
you
pretty
know what
big,
you
you know?
yeah, you
They're
know what
pretty
you
big
need.
rats.
I mean, why has Jeff not heard of them? Because Jeff has trash pandas. So you need a
That's
bunch of
true.
trash pandas, and then you don't have roof rats. Then you have a different problem.
Then you have a different problem. Yep.
There are a few predators here. Occasionally we get a bobcat, and the hawks will occasionally get them, but they're too big for cats. Cats would never mess with these.
Yeah.
They're pretty
And
big
sad, you
rats.
need trash pandas.
Trash pandas, yeah, we have coyotes,
Okay, yeah.
and occasionally mountain lions. Now that I've moved a little farther east, like I moved 15 minutes east from where I was, bears aren't a thing anymore. But it was great when the bears were roaming town because there were
Yeah, all
all
the
kinds of problems that just suddenly disappeared.
Where'd all the squirrels go?
Right? Yeah,
Well,
said
the
get some trash
we
pandas, get like put a TV outside and they will show up.
well, the you know,
Right?
they're so ubiquitous here that you can only keep the population down. You can't get rid of them. And
Okay. I think it's
I can't.
Tom,
I
you're
used
just not trying hard
I used
enough.
to
That's
I
true.
used to trap them. Trap
Yeah.
them outside, but we have
Yeah.
a couple of people that let their cats out, and so
Oh no.
I can't leave open traps out, so I have to like build a contraption with a big shoe box and put the trap inside the shoe box so the rat can get in, but the cat can't get in, but the rats don't go for that, so
But Tom, you are in America. Doesn't a gun solve everything?
yeah, if you hear me saying that I bought a gun because I have rats, just call the men in the white coats to come
Okay,
get me.
we'll do. We'll do.
Yeah, I don't. As bad as it gets, I'm not buying a rifle for that.
Thought that was the
You know,
American answer to everything.
it is the
it
American
is.
answer to everything. Now, when I was a kid and my grandpa still owned his farm, we'd spend every summer at the farm with grandma and grandpa. And of course, it's America. So I grew up thinking it was totally normal to have a 22 semi-auto rifle fully loaded, just leaning up against the wall next to the front door.
Totally normal.
Totally
It's
normal.
fine. It's
And
fine.
it wasn't there because grandpa thought he was going to have to shoot someone. I'm going to have to defend America. Anything like that. Excuse me. It's because they had moles and gophers
Right.
and then other predators that would come on to the farm property and pose a risk to the livestock and the chickens and everything. So you just kept the 22 rifle by the door, and you see something out the window, and it's like, oh, there they are. And Grandpa grabbed the rifle, step outside, and you hear pop, pop, pop. I thought that's how it was. That,
And
that's
then you had
normal.
meat for dinner.
Right.
No, then you had to go out to the yard. He had to go out to the yard to make sure there weren't one of his neighbors laying on the ground.
Yeah. Well,
But
we
so,
also knew not to go look, so no witnesses.
right. That's right.
Good point.
But Jeff, when you say that you spent the summer at your grandparents' farm, you know what that really was, don't you? It was vacation for your parents.
Oh, in retrospect, that's exactly what it was. And
True.
several years ago, I was chatting with mom and dad, and they accidentally let it slip because they had been saying all along how important it was to get to spend time with our grandparents and get to
Yeah, which is
experience
true.
life in the country. And now this one time, mom and dad, they're sitting there chatting with me, and mom's like, "Yeah, so when we dropped you and your sister off at the farm so we could go have some time for ourselves," and my dad looks at her and she looks back, and she's like,
She said it out
"Oh,
loud.
yeah, it was too late."
Well, you probably didn't care.
it was a win-win situation. You got to hang out with your grandparents and they got some free time.
It's a
Right.
win-win-win
And we got to
even.
eat sugar cereal.
It's even a win-win-win. Your grandparents probably also did enjoy it. So.
I'm assuming they did. They seemed very happy that we were there with them for the summers.
For the first day.
For the first day. And then they're great actors.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Anyhow, well, I guess this shouldn't be a therapy session about how my parents dumped me and my sister on my grandparents. So we should, or it could be, maybe that'd be more interesting. I don't know. But maybe we should try talking some tech news.
Let's give it a go.
Try.
Yeah. I mean, it's a thing. We could do it. And Tom, you have a story.
I have a story. It's kind of a strange one. It's from the Register. It's about Wikipedia complaining about how all the AI bots are draining their bandwidth. And I chose this story because I never thought about this. It's not the most earth-shattering story ever. And it's obvious once you see it. But basically, they're complaining that there are so many AI bots out there that they can't block, that it's sucking up a bunch of their bandwidth. And their bandwidth requirements are kind of going through the roof because there's so many crawlers out there. And we all know the story that you can't really block them with, the old style of robots.txt and all that. But they, and, I generally believe what Wikipedia says. I know some people have some concerns about their funding and all that stuff, but I'm not sure they're lying or anything
I don't
as
think they
compared
are.
to,
I mean, one, Wikipedia is probably a pretty attractive source, let's call it this way, for AI bots because it
Definitely.
has a lot of knowledge. Not everything is 100% correct, but probably pretty close to. So it's probably one of the best sources for information out there. And I mean, we've heard from tons of other people with websites out there that it is. I mean, especially for the smaller outlets where traffic matters more. Like if it increases because it might incur costs. We've seen cases where people all of a sudden were paying more for their hosting bill because a bunch of AI bots were scraping their website constantly. So it's, I mean, I would assume traffic-wise, on one hand, traffic-wise, it shouldn't matter as much. But on the other hand, given that they want to scrape probably all of it and want to keep it up to date, the knowledge in the models, it's probably a significant still. So.
Well, they claim that at least 65% of the traffic is for the most expensive content is generated by bots. So 65% of, and when they say the most expensive, I think what they're referring to is the traffic that requires getting data that's not cached locally because it's not accessed that much. And you know,
They don't
crawlers
care.
want
They just,
everything.
yes, they just suck up every bit.
So it's 65% of the most expensive. It's not 65% of all their traffic.
But that was, I mean, yeah, but that matters because the most expensive stuff is the stuff you want least usage on.
And it's, you know, I guess the other thing about this is it's yet another cost of AI that I hadn't considered. And
And nobody's paying for it. I mean, to be fair, well, that's not
the
true.
wrong people are paying
The wrong
for it.
people are paying for it.
There you
Yeah.
go.
I mean, to be fair, on one hand, that's kind of always been the model of Wikipedia, right? It's free for everybody.
Yeah, it's cost of doing business.
Even for companies. Like, I mean, if anybody could use Wikipedia and it was fine usually. But AI has changed that.
Yeah, I think there's a quote in the article or a point made in the article that if you own any kind of website, serving bots that crawl your site was always viewed as some part of a cost of doing business.
Yeah, but a small nuisance for
It
most part.
small nuisance. Now it's becoming more than a small
But
nuisance, I think,
because I mean,
potentially.
even the like the web crawler from whatever Bing and Yahoo and Google and whatever,
Google,
they would, I mean, depending on how popular your website was, they might come by every now and then to see if there was something new. But for the most part, that was low amounts of traffic. And
It's
the
pretty low.
stuff that is low of low interest to people was also of low interest to the crawlers. Because they
Right,
don't
because
have to
they
index
because
it if
it,
nobody cares.
right, they were crawling for a different reason than AI.
But AI is like we want all knowledge basically in it, and that is different. Yeah, it's and I and fundamentally, and I know there's courts right now dealing with that exactly. I'm not sure where copyright law sits in this case. It's
Yeah,
kind
this is
of
a really
it's
gray area.
maybe it is, maybe it's not, but it's, I mean, even if it is right now a gray area, I think that's something we have to rethink. Because, I mean, we're like, even search engines like Google and whatever, for the most part, they would direct people to your site, to your traffic, for the most part. So that was okay, but an AI is fundamentally different. It just give like it just reproduces or re whatever reshuffles what the work is, so you never go to the source.
Or
So
read the
basically,
book that you wrote, you know, or whatever else.
buy the book that you wrote, right? So and that quest that puts a question in, and they're making tons of money with it.
Yeah, that's the thing that bugs me. If they were doing this in a way that didn't generate revenue for them, that's
I mean,
one thing.
to be fair, Google did that for basically almost their entire lifetime,
That's
right?
true.
They served your
Yeah,
ads and made money.
we didn't realize it for a long time.
I think we did, but it didn't matter. But as I said, I think in this sense, AI is fundamentally different. Does it matter? Probably not. I think it's too late.
Yeah, I agree. It's too late. And Patrice, I also agree with you that there needs to be a rethinking of how we look at well, the AI industry in general. It's data collection and distribution isn't the same thing at all when you're using AI platforms.
In it, I mean, honestly, I don't know where I even land on this one. I tend to say, as I said, it's too late. So I think like there's not much we can do about it, but then at least make it free. And free as in free. If you use it, it's free. You used publicly available data, so make it free.
Right. Well, that also brings into question the whole concept of fair use. You know,
Yes.
there's a big difference between me reading an article and getting on a podcast and quoting the article versus a bot that's automatically sucking up everything in the world to
About
create a
reading
model
all
that they're going to
articles at the
sell.
same time and
And they're going to sell it to make money.
yes. Yeah. As I said, it's I think we're seeing a fundamental I think we're seeing a fundamental shift of how we think about value and whatever. I mean, honestly, I don't know even if podcasts like ours or websites that like we have will exist in the future, because for what? If nobody ever goes there and all it's there for is for AI systems to scrape, what's the point? I mean, the business model goes away because like there's no advertising anymore, because the bots sure don't get paid, or nobody will pay for a bot visiting or an AI bot visiting your website.
The only way you get paid is through, putting it behind a paywall.
Yeah, but then if everybody uses AIs and they don't find your content, then I don't know.
Then nobody
There's
cares.
already AI systems that you can feed a prompt into, and it will generate a podcast for you.
Yes.
And in many
No,
cases,
notebook
it
out,
sounds like real people having a real conversation.
Ish.
Ish. Okay.
Ish.
Well, hence in many cases, but
Yes.
yeah, it's. But
It's
if you
not
listen
bad.
to them a lot, you can start picking up the patterns.
But I mean, that's also a temporary problem.
Of course,
Yeah. So
but that changes the whole podcast paradigm right there.
The only way I see at all this evolving is if people say, I see value in a real person doing something and I'm willing to pay for it. Which I'm not so sure will happen. But it's kind of, I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of what you have with, I don't know, a book, for example. Even though AIs are now also selling books. So. But
Well, and if
people are
that
like, hey, I like this author, I'll buy the book.
right, things like that tend to be a backlash, and the cycle to get to the point where people are ready to support the backlash method, it takes a long time.
It might, and then also sometimes it doesn't matter because it might be there's a backlash in certain generations, but younger generations simply grow up with it and simply don't care. Yeah, or and it's not, I mean, I don't mean don't care in a negative sense. I simply mean they grew up with it. For them, that's how it is.
It's normal.
Isn't it Douglas Adams that had the age-based rules of technology? So, and anything that existed or is created in your lifetime up until what, it's like your teenage years,
I think it's at
that's
20,
normal.
25 or
Or
something.
something like that. That's normal, and that's just the way of the world. From and then from like 25 to 35, this is a new and innovative thing. And beyond 35, it's weird magic stuff, and who needs that?
Who needs that? And the world is gonna end because those teenagers using it all of that stuff. No, but I mean, it's simply it's reality. It's like and the people who adapt to it will maybe survive. Maybe. I heard a teacher the other day and I was like, that's pretty smart. I think it was someone in Germany, I want to say, said like basically AI is like they were talking about cheating in like ch cheating in like on like homework or whatever with using AI, and she said, forget it, like there's no point in even trying to prevent it because it's a tool, it's like a calculator, You cannot stop people using the tool. There is no way to detect it. You can try, but even the best systems that we've seen so far have basically failed most of the time. So what you said is, no, we simply expect them to use AI and use it and say, hey.
And deal with it, yeah.
Yeah, and say, hey, I don't know, create whatever. Use an AI and create some paper about XYZ.
Right.
Like give them a hard task also for an AI, like something where they actually have to work and create the right prompts and whatever and get a good content. And then bring it to school and then in school, critique it.
Yeah.
What's wrong with it?
Yes. How do you use the tools?
Yeah.
That's what people need to learn. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was, that is way more valuable than trying to prevent, in, or air quotes, cheating. Because you can't. It's the same with the calculator. I mean, who can stop you from, I mean, even back in your days, like, who could stop you from using a calculator at home? Nobody.
Certainly not at home. It was, yeah, it was funny how long calculators were prohibited in schools for such a long time.
Yeah. I mean, even when I was around, I think in, what was it, seventh grade or something, was the first time we were even allowed to use one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for sure. But as I said, in school, like at home, nobody could stop me. I could use a calculator, like whatever, first grade. If I knew how to use it.
Right.
You know, I remember the whole, you can't use a calculator, that's cheating, and you won't have one in the real world.
Which, and then you
won't
computer.
Have one in the real world seemed crazy because everyone had a calculator.
Yeah.
But you still needed to know how to do the math to be able to use the calculator.
Yeah.
Right.
And I had, it was a chemistry teacher who said, I will let you use a slide rule.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that was smart.
And we're all like,
good.
What the hell? That's literally antiquated technology. Yes. No one's using those.
Yeah.
We will never use this outside of this one class.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing you want us to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, I mean, that's to some extent always the world. But I said, like, it's a tool. And you need to know how to use the tool. You still need to understand the fundamentals behind it. But you cannot expect that someone doesn't use it.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, at least with the slide rule, you had to understand the math to some extent, you know.
Yeah, but you do with the calculator too.
Even if you're using Excel these days, you still have to understand to some extent what you're doing.
Right. Otherwise, you end up with a date.
Yeah. True. Yeah. But that, here's the difference. With an AI, not so much. Because you can literally give it a problem and it will give you the answer. And you don't have to understand the word, you don't have to understand anything.
Yeah.
All you understand is prompt engineering.
Yeah, you have to understand the prompt. But you can still use it as a tool. I mean, I use it all the time where I'm like, hey, explain this to me.
Sure.
Now, using it as a tool, this, and using it for math,
mm-hmm.
that's a great example of why it's so important to know how to do the thing before you use the tool. Because AI, if you ask it to do math,
mm-hmm.
it may very well do it wrong, but give you an answer that seems plausible.
Yes.
And if you don't know, well.
Yeah, but that's exactly what you have to learn. What is mm-hmm. good, what is bad, how to use the tool the right way, how not to use it, what it can and can't do, what are the limitations. Like, that's what you have to learn.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I mean, I've heard that the also a different thing, heard that the other day about developers. Like, there's people saying, oh, development will be replaced by AI. I don't believe so. But what I can tell you is developers who don't know how to use AI will be replaced.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. Like, no, barely anybody uses assembler today. Barely. I mean, there is people that still do it, right? It's not impossible, but it's a very specialized thing because most people don't need to use it.
Well, just think about working in an office and you don't know how to use Microsoft Office or something, you know, or basic computer skills. It's difficult to get a job.
Yeah.
Exactly. 30 years ago, that wasn't necessarily the case.
Yeah,
but
yeah, exactly. And that's so AI is no different in that sense. That it is a tool. It is maybe the most powerful tool we've ever had, and we'll see where that takes us, but it's a tool for us. We invented it for a reason.
Awesome story. And Patrice,
Leads right up into my
let's talk about your story, which, what a coincidence. This dovetails nicely with Tom's.
And I did not pick it for that reason. I didn't even consider that. But yes, it works quite well. So, do you know the NaNoWriMo National Novel Writing Month, which was in November always, right? Something like that. They're shutting down. They've been struggling for a little while already. Like last year, they announced big reorganization and changes and whatever, because it was neither organizationally nor financially working really well. But they're at least saying, if you look at there's a video they posted. Actually, I had to double check it because it was the TechCrunch article is from April 1st. So it's like, oh, is that April Fool's joke? But
Careful.
I went to the source and they posted a YouTube video, and that was actually a day before. So just, yeah, bad timing, I would call it. So they posted a lengthy kind of town hall-ish video where they basically said, okay, this is where we are. This is what's going to happen. We're going to shut down. And the reasons are not just AI, but also AI. There's also, as I said, some financial issues they've had and some organizational issues that they've had. And yeah, they just realized in this world, it's, I mean, they had a bigger, as far as I remember, scandal about AI, scandal in air
They
quotes.
did, yeah.
Yeah, air quotes scandal, because yeah, people use AI.
Yeah, the scandal, as I recall, was the NaNoWriMo people saying, yes, you can use generative AI to write your stories. And a lot of writers flipped their lids and said, then that's not actually writing stories.
Yeah, and then they were, I think, as far as I remember, going back and forth on it and trying to moderate it somehow, and like, yes, this is fine, but it is not, and whatever. And at some point, I think it just was a train wreck of some sort.
I just love that they started as a Yahoo mailing list in 1999.
That, yeah, it's that. It's I think this is a story, a typical story of any sort of organization like that. I think they were also complaining a little bit about that. A lot of members, of this, I mean, rather large community. Like, I think Jeff, you've participated, if I remember correctly, right?
No, but I have morally supported many people who
Okay.
have.
I thought you did participate, but maybe I mixed that up with
No,
someone else.
I thought about it, and maybe we talked about it
Oh,
at
that
one
could be.
point.
Yes.
And then I decided that Inktober was more appropriate for
Was more
me
fun.
and more fun. Yeah.
Yes, it was actually. Yeah, so but they said, I mean, which is a problem a lot of communities have, that they expected the service, and they expected the service for free. And that's not how organizations work at the end. Like, even community-driven nonprofits, I mean, they were a nonprofit. They need support, and people shouldn't just expect a free thing and kind of be entitled in a way that they get the free thing, which we know people do.
Yeah, the entitled thing, that's a big problem, not just here. And I think a lot of that rides on the coattails of the growth of the internet, because a lot of people have grown up where all they know is that you can go online and everything is there and I
And
didn't have to pay
everything's
money
free.
for it.
Except for your internet access, yeah. Everything is free. Yeah, I mean, that is, I would say, predominantly still the model on the internet. If you think about it, there is some exceptions. Things like Zoom, for example. that you pay for. Well, there's a free tier, but someone has to pay. But there is, I mean, including most podcasts, tons and tons and tons of free content. Yeah,
Yeah,
no,
but
it's
it's
smart.
podcasts are just free.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that there's less and less and less of all that. You know,
Yeah.
more and more podcasts have a, you know, they start with an optional subscription that gets you extra content. The logical conclusion of that is subscription for all content.
And the reason for it
Yeah.
is that it works as long as someone is willing to like pay for it and support it. But if it's if or there's enough advertisers around that you can go that way. But if that goes away or yeah, gets shut down, it's like, I mean, YouTube, like the big platforms like YouTube and Facebook and whatever have basically eaten up most of the advertising money.
Right.
I mean, there's still some, but it's tough. I know people. I mean, we all know podcasters that shut down their podcast because they just it
Right.
just wasn't working anymore.
I'd say about half, at least half of the podcasts that I listen to that come from National Public Radio here in the US have started offering a subscription for bonus content because they're losing sponsorships and advertisers.
And it worked as long as also there were like bigger, maybe bigger sponsors or like supporters in the background where there were people that were giving a little bit more money, especially in NPR's case. I mean, it was always a thing. But that has also kind of stopped because, as I said, people feel entitled to free content and feel entitled, or it's just, as we talked about earlier, it's just how it is. I mean, how often do you think about all the free stuff that you consume? I think we're all part of that to some extent. I try to support a couple people, but I also know that I can't support everybody.
Is now a good time to talk about the new subscription service for BTN?
We should. But that would actually require that we set one up.
Yeah, our new subscription service for a small monthly fee
It's only Jeff's.
to only Jeff's, you get access to exclusive, intimate content, some of which you will not be able to unremember, no
Yes,
matter
get
how
out of your
hard you
brain.
try,
You would need
right?
like an angle grinder and I don't know, like a shock grenade or something to get that out of your
Right. Yeah, there's not enough alcohol in the
Well,
world.
that
So, for a higher fee,
too.
we will protect you from all that content. So for $10 or £10 a month, you get access to the content. For $20 or £20 a month, we will block all the content. You decide what has more value for you. And we're looking forward to your $20 donation.
That reminds me of Deconstruct, where we offered, I think on Patreon, we offered a tier for the people who wanted to shut us down. We're like, hey, if someone pays that, we're gone.
That's,
It was
you
10
know,
million, if I remember correctly.
but that's how business works. And clearly people enjoyed you because no one ever paid 10 million.
I guess so, yeah.
But you know, as long as we're right here, maybe we should talk about the live chat.
We should. I think we should. So,
Would you mind doing that?
yes, I do not
Thank you.
mind at all. So, we have a really cool live stream system that also is provided for free since we talked about free content. The software we're using is free, provided by really awesome people from the open source community. It's called Owncast. So, if you want to support them, you know where to find that. Just, I think, GitHub somewhere, Owncast. And yeah, we host it on our server and stream this to you. So, we don't have to go to the big players that are Google mostly, YouTube these days, where they basically vacuum up all your content that you provide for free to them and then serve advertisement that you don't get paid for. Which literally, that's their model, which, yeah, it's fine, but I don't want to support that if I don't have to. So, yeah, Live.britishtechnetwork.com. I don't know where I ended up. Live.britishtechnetwork.com is where you can find that. We stream every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for this very show. And also Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. So tomorrow, and there's probably stuff to talk about tomorrow. Don't know. Just a feeling.
Could be.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there could be the most amazing stories in the world to talk about or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea either way because I am so out of the news loop from being sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I also don't know because other than installing betas everywhere, I have no idea what happened. And that I only know because I got pinged to do that. Yeah. So that's how easy it is. Live chat is next to the video. And if you want to get the transcripts, the website should be up soon again. britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Select today's date, April 3rd, 2025. And you will see what we talked about in the chat.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice.
You're welcome.
All right, let's do some cool things.
If I could remember what I wanted. I had a really cool thing.
Antibiotics.
Yay. Those are actually are cool.
All right, Tom, tell us about your cool thing.
Okay, my cool thing is a podcast. Not quite as cool as antibiotics. I think that's the first time I've compared a podcast to antibiotics.
But it won't be the last.
Podcast
it
might not be the last. Wait, you're killing the podcast?
Just making it healthy.
Oh.
My pick is an episode of Freakonomics Radio, which is one of my favorite podcasts. It's an episode which is an interview with Lena Khan, who ran the FTC under Joe Biden and just left, and was kind of a little bit controversial. But her backstory is very interesting. You know, I think she is a very smart person, very high achiever academically. You know, her rocket to fame. She rode the rocket to fame of due to writing a paper about Amazon. I think as her doctorate paper, I think it was. Which got a lot of attention, and that was kind of the beginnings of her career, how she got famous and noticed by a lot of people. And she's done a lot of interesting things and had a lot of interesting jobs and in government and economic think tanks and things. So I found it fascinating to listen to her. And I think I would definitely say she sounds like a very smart person with a good dose of common sense too, not just an academic.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested in economics and that kind of stuff, and it does touch on tech, you know, obviously, because she spent a lot of time looking at technology companies, I would recommend it.
What's the podcast awesome. Name? Freakonomics?
Freakonomics.
Yeah, it's a good podcast.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Awesome. All right, Patrice, what do you have for us?
Well, I have something that maybe Jeff could use as well. I don't know.
Ooh.
A smart air purifier from, I think the company is called Levoit, something like that. I don't know. Don't even know where they're from. But they're really good. I've read tons of reviews before I bought this one. I actually had one of their like fans, tower fans, already. So this has been honestly in my shopping basket for the last, I don't know, 6 months, because I wanted to buy it and I was always like, I don't know, because it's kind of a little bit more expensive. But at some point I was like, okay, I just gonna get it, because I live in a city, and I mean, Vienna has actually quite a good air quality, but sometimes stuff happens. It's like, it's quite big, bigger than I thought. It works really well. It is super silent, which I liked. There's even a silent mode if you want it more silent, but I barely, even if it's run, I mean, it's fully, I set it to fully automatic, so it will increase the van speed if it detects like the air quality goes down, and it will go down if the air quality is good. Mostly it's good here, so it's running on a very low setting. And it just does its thing. There's an app if you want it, you can control it, you can schedule things, you can connect it. It doesn't do Apple Home or anything like that yet, I should say. But it does Alexa or Google if you want that. But I didn't even care. I'm like, set it, forget it. And it's one of the bigger, they have other ones. It's one of the bigger ones because, yeah, I have a decent size apartment.
Yeah,
This
I
is.
think if I would end up getting a big one too.
It does, as I said, the funny thing is, there was a meme on or something on Instagram where people were discovering that they had not removed the plastic from their filter and their air filter and air
Oh
purifier.
no.
After like a year or two, they actually have a sticker on top that says, "Hey, make sure you open this thing up and remove the plastic."
I've had many air filters over the years. I have never had a situation where I left the packing material on. It's,
Yeah, but I mean, I can see
but
that being
that's me.
an easy yeah, but I can see that being an easy mistake. You kind of don't think about it. You take it out and you plug it in and you kind of don't think about it. You're like, hey, good to go, right? And you never even realize that you should open the thing up to remove packing.
Yeah,
It's an
it's
easy mistake, but as I said, that's why, like, right on top, you can't even turn it on. There was a nice sticker that said, hey, please open this thing and remove the plastic.
we
that's awesome.
we use air filters here too for just sort of natural things, and also when we
Yeah,
have wildfires and
wildfires.
that kind of stuff. And ours are about that size of this
Yeah.
one. But what's new to me is this automatic mode where it has some sort of air quality
It does.
sensors on it, which would be really cool.
Yeah, and they have like a night mode or something where it reduces, or sleep mode where it kind of reduces the noise if that bothers you, stuff like that. So as I said, I'm actually surprised because I've been, as I said, I just installed it, set it to auto, and I've been running it basically since. I'm actually surprised when it turns on. For the most part, the like air quality is pretty good, but when you're cooking, for example, it's like, hey, it's gotten a little bit worse, so I'm turning on. I have to turn it off, but I get a notification like, hey, we turned it up a little
Patrice, if I was cooking, it would be on full blast.
It's like, oh, stuff is burning. Well, that probably doesn't help then at some point. Yeah. So as I said,
Looks like a good one.
Core 5 5 Core 400S. That's the one I have. They have a bunch of others. They have tower fans or whatever. They're on sale right now in the US, 187. It was about the same here in the EU. So.
I have a Honeywell smart air filter that I've had for many years.
They're pretty good.
And and it's great. Except that the smart features only work like if you're using your phone when you're in Bluetooth range.
Oh, okay. No, it connects to Wi-Fi,
And
so this works even remote.
so being able to control it remotely would be great. It looks like the smart features where it's monitoring air quality are more advanced than the
Yes.
Honeywell that I have.
Yeah. And I mean, the
So
thing is,
this would be a nice upgrade.
it would be absolutely. And the thing is, if you don't want to use the smart features, there's very easily accessible, clearly understandable buttons up top. You don't need to connect it if you don't
You
want
know
to.
what? We actually own, I just looked, we own two of these, the lower down version, the
Nice.
300.
Oh, pretty cool.
But it
Yeah,
doesn't
they're.
have, mine don't to have the air quality sensors on them though.
Yeah, I did opt for the bigger ones because that was one of the things I wanted.
Yeah, air quality sensors are important for me. It's and well, like you, Tom, I live in an area where wildfire smoke is just a way of life. And so if it's not wildfire smoke, it's pollen.
Right, same here.
Yep.
That's a good pick.
So great picks, both of you. And I feel like I'm under a lot of pressure now to not bring
Under
something like a
pressure.
rubber chicken. But I think I can actually hold my ground today. And that's with ground news. Now, I'm bringing ground news because it's one of those things that had completely slipped under my radar. And I figure if it went under my radar, there's a lot of other people who need to know about this. So, what it is, it's a website and a service that you can subscribe to that rates news stories on how far left, right leaning they are, or like if they're in the center, and it gives you summaries so that you can see what news organizations on the left or the right are saying. And then it breaks out which news sources it's rating. And so it's like this really cool news aggregator because you can tell it, here's the types of stories I'm interested in. And then you can see what's being said on either end of the political spectrum. And you can even add an extension to your web browser so that when you go to websites, assuming it's one that's already been checked, you can get information about the articles that you're reading without having to go back to the Ground News website.
Yeah, it's really, I saw them on TLDR News. Is they're sponsoring TLDR News on YouTube a bunch, which has really good content if you're interested in stuff. And they've been sponsoring them quite a bit, and so I heard about them. What I really like is that you get basically the same baseline fact story, but then you get viewpoints on it from either side. So if you want to be if you want to see what is being reported, even if you're whatever your leanings are and whatever you're interested in, it might just be interesting, even if you disagree, to see what others how others are seeing. Because here and there might be something where you're like, okay, that is actually not so bad, or that is something that I didn't consider.
Yes. And that ties in to a feature that I found very interesting, which is blind spots. So based on the content that you're reading or based on what direction news stories are leaning, if you check blind spots, you'll see the content from the other end of the spectrum. So yes, that can be really fascinating and interesting. Like you were saying, Patrice.
Yeah, that's
And
actually really cool.
it's reasonably priced.
It's not that expensive.
It's not expensive, and it's a great tool. I wish I'd known about it earlier. I installed the app on my iPhone and my iPad, so I can do my a lot of my news checks from right there. And I've got the plugin installed in Edge so that when different stories come up and I may not be familiar with the sources, excuse me, I can do a reality check with Ground News.
Yeah, that's
I'm sorry,
actually.
Jeff, did you say Edge? You're using Edge?
Yeah, that's my browser of choice. Yeah, but it turns out that some of the plugins that I rely on,
Don't work
they,
gamers.
yeah, they require Chromium browsers, and I do not like Google Chrome at
No.
all.
I'm with you.
So Edge became the option. I mean, a lot of these plugins run in Firefox, and I am not a Firefox fan at all. No.
I put the link to TLDR News in the chat as well. It's a British service, but they do even US versions and so on, if you're interested.
Awesome. All right. So we all went I think really highbrow with our picks this
We
week.
did.
Yeah.
Have to change that next week.
Right. I guess we should stop while we're ahead. So with that, I'll say, Wow, thank you to both of you for putting up with me being sick today. And yeah, you two were awesome. So thank you. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week here on the big show, or almost every week here on the big show, on the Mac show, except for the next 2 weeks, I'll kind of be random, depending on when I'm traveling and so on, and what I have time available. Yeah, everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, and with Jeff, on only Jeff's, no, on retrorewatch.com, we have Retro Rewatch. We're rewatching Stargate SG-1. And yeah, as every week, I forgot, we posted Bane last week, so the Tok'ra are actually coming up, part one. So, interesting episode.
That was an interesting episode. Yes. Yeah. Awesome. All right, Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social.
Awesome. All right. Then for me, I'm on all the socials as J Gamut, and I'm doing most of my posting now when I'm not sick on Mastodon and PixelFed and a little bit on Blue Sky. Then for shows, I do not have the energy to go through all of them today. So instead, I will
All of
say
them.
all of
Yeah,
them.
I'm
But
on all the shows.
this evening I will be on, probably, if I recover, Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with
Nice.
iOS, and Patrice mentioned Retro Rewatch, and so I'm going to mention it too, just because I love that we do that show.
Me too.
All right, so with that, thank you again to both of you for being so amazingly patient and tolerant with me today, more so than usual. You rock. And everyone that watches, listens live with us, participates in the live chat, thank you for being here and being part of the show as well. Everyone that watches, wow, watches or listens to the show recordings later, thank you for being part of
English.
this. Diction, sometimes it's difficult. Wow. So, yeah, but yeah, so. Thank you to all of you. Hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And Patrice, thank you for all the stuff you do on the back end to keep us up and running. And with that, I think it's okay to say, hey, tune in tomorrow for the Mac show. Excuse me. And then don't forget to tune in again next week on Thursday for the big show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.